I have the privilege as well today to introduce our speaker, and I think we're in the right place. When you walk in the room, there's this nice clear signage, clear instructions, we know we are in for a treat. We know the person knows what they're talking about, right? So we want to introduce to you today, it's Kathy Slessor. She has been on staff here for 21 years. And she's been on, doing, for the last 10 years, integration. And I think this is a very important topic for all of us to consider today. So we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to lead us. And let's just get into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being able to be here today to hear wisdom and truth regarding this critical subject of integration. I pray that you would give Kathy the right words. I pray that we would be willing to listen, to be challenged. But Father, may out of this the outcome be that we glorify your name in the name of your Son, Jesus. So help us today with all that we hear, and may it be an encouragement and a challenge that we would serve our people and our churches better. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Josh. All right, I have a prize to give out right off the top. Oh, yeah. Okay, on behalf of grumpy ushers everywhere, you know who you are. You know who you're thinking about. Thank you for the people that were so early to this. I noticed that you came early. I had these. My prizes are leftovers of what I gave to as thank you gifts to our welcome volunteers back at a little while ago. So
back
I kept
them.
Back in, no, not still at all. It's okay. Can you guys hear me? Okay. I feel it's coffee. It's a local roastery will let us print a custom sticker for the front of it. Is it working? Thank you. Thank you. And I thought, okay, $3 each, I can make this my newcomer gift. And it's going to save me a bunch of money, because right now we're doing mugs, and nobody wants another mug. Right? They want the stuff to put in it. So anyway, that's, I'm hoping to give out lots of gifts today. Oh, that sounds better, right? We're going to be very interactive today. Whenever someone says a really great idea or something that you're like, ooh, that's a great idea, do like the clapping thing, okay? And I will notice, and I will give that person a thank you gift from my, okay? Katie, are you with me?
Can you help me with this? I think you should give yourself a gift. That was
a great
idea.
I'm well captivated already. Okay, so when Trent Strickland asked me to do a workshop about this, I thought, oh man, I've really got him fooled. I know what I'm talking about. And I've been doing it for long enough that I've made enough mistakes over and over that I've learned a lot over the years. And I've also had the benefit of coming to this conference, this is our third time, and learning from Julie and this lovely lady over here, I can't remember her name, even though we're and others, Vicky at the back here, oh my goodness, I've learned so much and implemented new things the last 3 years, and I just want us to have the opportunity to share some of those things with you and talk things through. So I hope you're ready to be interactive, because it is 4 o'clock on Monday. I know most of you, if you're church staff, you usually have Mondays off, so I know it's a tough day, tough crowd a little bit, although I will say the welcome and integration crowd is the friendliest we have. It's like the most friendly people in the church for sure. So I think we're all in good company here. Okay. Alright, I would like you to, we're gonna stand up and we're gonna go to the corner of the room that suits you. I'm gonna put up a slide here that I want you to find your people. Okay? We're gonna do this a couple times quick. Just get the blood flowing. You've been sitting for a while. In this corner if you like dogs, in this corner if you like cats. Birds back there where Josh is walking past, and gross.
Yeah. This is the dog section?
Wherever.
I'm not a
now, if at your church where you attend on Sundays, you have one service up in this corner. If you have more than one service on a Sunday back in this corner,
get out of your
seat. Get to know it. So weird. Do you make it to your church? Okay. This is helpful.
A little tired.
Yeah.
We know.
That's very true. Okay, good job. Okay, you got this. Okay, oh wait, go back. Okay, do you like bacon?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like bacon? Do you not care? Like, if you don't really care about bacon, this is revolutionary to me. Some people don't like bacon. I know. Church of less than 200. To on a Sunday, average 200 to 500. Moving it all around. This, I think, is the most relevant.
Oh, here.
This is the most relevant for what we're talking about here today. So helpful. Okay. So the vast majority of us here are in smaller churches. Look at by yourself. Vicky would be with you, and so would I. It's okay. You're good. Okay, I think she gets a prize. Definitely. Okay, good job, you guys. Okay, also, if you have a paper welcome card, if you do a digital welcome card, and if you do both, come in the middle. So interesting. Wow. Does anybody only do, yes, Bethany, we talked about this earlier today. Only digital, only paper. Oh, look around.
Although the paper ones are often used for people to put their gum in.
Yeah.
So, but you still have them.
Still have them, yes.
Yeah,
I got one handed in a couple weeks ago from Batman. Batman came on Sunday. It was amazing. Yeah. Who knew? Okay, good job. Okay, I can't remember. Okay, I'm curious to know, are you on the welcome team? Do you run the welcome team? Are you just here because this was the most... like, least mentally taxing sounding workshop. You're on the team. It's actually really helpful. Good stuff. Okay. Find your seat. Shake it up. Get your blood flowing a little. My hope today is to truly encourage you the way I've been encouraged over the last three Stronger conferences by finding my people, finding these people that care about these things like I do, and then sharing our ideas. It has been so encouraging to me. I hope we'll get some creative juices going. I hope we'll maybe even do a little problem solving. My gorgeous assistant, Julia. Thank you. Okay, I'll give her a prize later. She is taking notes, and she's going to take notes on all the things we're shouting out. And if you want the notes at the end of today, leave your email at the back. Okay, and I'll send them. I'll add my comments, and I'll add all your comments, and I'll send them to everybody. And anything else you want to, then you have my email and you can just ask. So, I hope you'll join me in this enthusiasm for welcoming people and helping them get integrated. I know already, some of you are already there because you were in the peer group this morning and you're like, that's me. You know, so I know that many of you are. So join right in as we're talking, okay? You won't mess me up if you jump in and interrupt. Some of you are in a church like the one near my parents' cottage in Port Elgin, and where the same lady is on the door every Sunday. And we go twice a year at most, and she recognizes me and knows who I am. I can't believe it. She has been doing this for at least 15 years, and she knows everybody in the church. It's a tiny church, and God is working and moving, and it is amazing. That lady does an amazing job of welcoming us, and I feel that love every time I go there. Some of you are in churches that are like that, where you intuitively know everybody on Sundays, and you know right away if somebody's new. That's awesome. See the strength in that. Some of you are in churches like mine. I serve here, and I get to serve organizing 119 volunteers on a Sunday. Not every Sunday, but I have 119 people on my welcome teams. So that's like the size of a small church in a lot of places, right? So some of your challenges, Julie and I have similar challenges that way, similar struggles, similar strengths there too. So I know that we can all learn a lot from each other. So let's get the energy going here for that, okay? Most of you are somewhere in between, okay? Make sure I said everything. I've been doing this long enough, like I said before, that I've made enough awkward mistakes that if you could just learn from all the things I've done wrong, your welcome ministry would improve exponentially. Okay. And also, I've been an observer of how culture has changed in the last 20 years and how expectations for welcome and being a part of community and being known, and I think they're literally changing as I'm saying this even. It's changing so fast. And we have to be good studies of people and what they need and what they want, what their felt needs are, what their real needs are, because we want to share Jesus with them so badly, right? So not doing things that are a barrier, amazing. Being creative and trying new things, even things that flop, amazing, right? Let's do it. Let's do it together. All right, okay. So the notes pages will be at the back. Make sure if you want to take notes as we go or just doodle or just add on, I did include just my headings from the slides for you to write things down as you go. So if you want to go pick up a notes page, you're welcome to go get that. And we'll be adding on later today. We're going to primarily talk about Sunday welcome here. But especially if this stuff is like old hat to you, you've been thinking about this for years, maybe take the time to think through today about how some of this could be implemented in other areas of your programming. We started really thinking intentionally about like our Tuesday night programming and our Wednesday night family programming from a welcome and integration perspective, and it was challenging because we have different goals and different people coming and different timing and all these different things happen at different times of day, right? So if you're sort of like, oh, I already know this stuff, which I know most of you do, I'm not going to be sharing anything too mind-blowing here. Maybe take some time and think through how you could implement these things at a different time or in a different program or in a different way other than Sunday morning. But we're primarily talking about Sunday morning here. So I titled this workshop Welcome and Integration because I just want to be really intentional about what I mean about those two different terms. And everybody sort of has different terms for this kind of job. Welcome is really about first impressions, right? Welcome is the feeling you get when you walk into a space. It's the friendliness of a church. That's what I mean by welcome. Okay, it's having a warm smile, a diaper change table when you need it, and someone available to show your reluctant 7-year-old where their classroom is. Right? That's welcoming. That's what I'm talking about when we're talking about welcome. Okay, welcome thinking is natural to people who see and notice newcomers and feel it. Feel it when you know what it's like to be new in a place. I can see you nodding. You're my people, right? You see and notice and you happily introduce yourself. You're glad to do that. Doing a very good job of authentic welcome is so, so important. I'm preaching to the choir. Integration is a whole different thing in my mind. Like for the purpose of this workshop, I just thought it was helpful to separate the two. You might call it connections. You might call it next steps. In my mind, integration is a little bit of a different thing. Integration is about guests becoming church family. Okay, you go from being a visitor that doesn't know where the bathroom and the kitchen is, to being kind of able to put your feet up on the coffee table. Okay? There's a tangible thing that happens when you start to become part of the family, right? And integration is that. It's about being able to join the community and truly grow in Christ. For us, it means that integration and discipleship are sometimes interchangeable, and they work really, really close together because we see it as one and the same. Growing in Christ is discipleship. And so that's like this with integration, right? You'll see as we go that I've learned to lean more and more and more into integration over the years. It was really easy to tackle being welcoming. It's tangible. You can see it. You can feel it. You can put people in place. Integration is harder, and it's constantly changing, right? And so when I'm thinking and talking about that stuff, I want you to be thinking about how God would move you to make that better and grow more and more creative in your church, okay? All right, so let's just talk. Let's just start shouting some things out. What are some tangible signs that a church is welcoming? What does it feel like? What is it like?
Don't be silent. They talk to you past the front door. They talk to you past, hello, yeah. Welcome in.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Hello, is this your first Sunday? They actually want to chat with you.
Someone actually talks to you.
Amazing.
Friend. Absolutely. What
to
else?
Me, it feels like coming home.
Feels yeah. homey. Yeah. Feels like coming home. Yeah. Great. What are some other tangible things?
Good signage.
You know where to go. It's not a mystery where you go to take your kids, right? What about the bathrooms? Are they in a secret location? Right? What are some other things?
They don't go home.
Say that again?
They don't go home.
Oh, when? When do they not go home? After the service? Everybody go like this. We have hit on a major thing that we can say is a tangible sign that a church is friendly and welcoming. And we're going to talk more about that as we go. But absolutely, people don't go home. What about that there is a diaper change table?
In the men's bathroom.
That's right. In the men's bathroom, absolutely.
All right, here. Heads up, we're going to have some fun. Yeah,
absolutely for real, absolutely. What, Paul?
First time guests, don't sit alone. Like, some of you see people in.
First time guests also don't have to stand up.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's actually a seat available.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What if that only seat is available is down front and center? Now, some people really like that spot. I've noticed this. We've got a crew of people at Emmanuel that are like, no matter when I arrive, down front and center, that's where I'm sitting. Okay, cool.
Well, I just meant they don't have to stand up, like, as in, like, you're new to the church, please stand up, this paper.
Yes. My husband and I, when we were newly married, went to a church where everyone greeted everyone after the worship with a holy kiss. That's how I felt. I was like, no, not... I get it's in the Bible, but weird. Yeah. What are some other things? What are some other things that you think about when you want a church to be welcoming?
Clear direction on who to ask if you have questions. So whether they're wearing a lanyard or there's a welcome desk or like,
yeah.
If I want to know where I go to do this or yes. Who I need to talk to about this, there's clear instruction on where to go.
It's not a mystery.
Yeah.
You don't have to be part of the in crowd.
Or be intimidated that I feel like I can only go to the pastor or try to find whoever did the announcements. Like,
that's such a good point, because who would you ask otherwise if you really didn't know? Right? So brilliant. Absolutely. What else? I know there's a million.
I would say welcomers who have the emotional intelligence to know when to back off.
Okay, right. Like, they're not giving you a holy kiss.
Yeah, or just that like cringy feel.
Yeah.
You know, you just gotta have that awareness that, okay, I've done my job, now it's time to connect or...
Yeah. We had a volunteer, this was a while ago, so I'm not telling anybody a scary story, who was so enthusiastic about being a welcome team volunteer, and a young woman came who looked just like her daughter, and her daughter doesn't go to church. So she was so over the top. like, welcoming to this poor, intimidating young adult. And it's like, oh no, we've permanently scared her away from the table, right? But emotional intelligence is a big one, absolutely. Sometimes the folks that are your most outgoing and the most friendly aren't necessarily always the best people, right? You gotta have some of those introverts there too.
I think that having a church that doesn't look tired, doesn't have bad spells, is clean, that kind of thing is very important.
Okay.
Thank you. You gotta have some
smells.
Yeah.
It's like you don't know what your own house smells like until you have a guest for it.
Yeah.
Like if you got a dog, I know you got a dog.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's church. Sometimes it's people.
Yeah.
So that dog in this church.
There's a wet dog in this
church. Yeah.
Good. You know, there's so. Vicky.
Cross-cultural intelligence.
Tease that out a little more for us, my friend.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
People from different countries have different comfort things, like understanding a little bit about where they come from, what they do and don't need from you and welcoming.
It's a learning curve for us here, for sure. And I'm just learning to ask questions and then be quiet and figure it out. Yeah, definitely. Has that been a learning curve for anybody else around as well in the last couple of years? Definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's touch and space.
Right.
Just gauging people's comfort levels culturally.
Yes. And you can't always tell. Really, it's so important, especially post-COVID, right? We just so want to be loving and kind and careful and all those beautiful things. Well, we've come up with a bunch, and I bet you could think of more. I know, especially for us on our youth night, one of the things we had to address quickly and understand better was that when a parent, especially of our younger teens, was dropping off a child, they needed to know who the leaders were. So having a visible person, obviously, on the team there to welcome was huge, something that we hadn't even thought about for years. But it was a really big deal. So that's an example of how these things you can really need to think through and apply them in other ways too. Okay, good. Let's keep going. So here's some other things to think about. For example, what is it like to show up 15 minutes early? What about 5 minutes before the service? What about 20 minutes into the service? Is the only seat left the one down front and center? Right? What's it like to show up on the website or the live stream? Our kind of newcomers get together, we call it Emmanuel 101. I do it every other month. I've been learning to ask people, how did you find out about us? How did you, like, what was your first contact with us? More and more and more over the last several years, people say, well, I watched you online for quite a while, and we thought we'd come and check it out now that we've moved to Barrie or we're whatever, fill in the blank. Others have had that same experience. Yeah. More and more so, right? So that means that often that first contact isn't really the first contact, right? It's happened in many other ways before now. Are we friendly? Are we welcoming? Are we open-handed, open-hearted that way? Are we thinking about those things in that venue as well, right? Let's go back to the 15 minutes early thing. I love this. So I remember I was on vacation one Sunday, and so we decided to go to another church. It was down towards Toronto from here. And at that time, I had little kids. My children are grown now, but I had little kids. And in our kids' min, if you showed up 10 minutes early, there was still a good chance you were going to be late for the service because you had to fill out so much information. And then someone had to type it in to the computer, and then we had to wait for the printer to work properly and print out a name tag for you. So even if you were like super responsible and 10 minutes early, you were probably going to be late for church. So when we were on vacation, I thought, we're going to go early. We're going to go. We were a good 15, 20 minutes early to this church. We were just visiting someone. We beat the worship team. We were there ahead of everyone. They thought we were the speakers. Okay.
That's awesome.
No one was welcoming us. They kept looking at us. Like 5 minutes into when I thought the service started, they were like, do your kids want to go to the kids program, we're like, yeah, okay. So for me, that would have been helpful to understand. Now, I was overreacting because of my experience at home, right? I showed up super early, but what's that like for the early comers to your church? Right? What's it like to show up really early? Are people like, what's going on here? What's it like to show up at five minutes before? Right? Can you sign your kids in and still find a not embarrassing seat if you show up 5 minutes before? What would that really look like to be super welcoming and ready and friendly and ready to go? Okay? What are some other things we think about at those first two, 10 minutes or 50 minutes early and 5 minutes early? What are some other things that you have thought of in that time frame? It's a pretty typical Sunday.
If it's 5 minutes before the service, and especially if it's a newcomer family, and we touched on this a little bit in the workshop, is if your primary vehicle for getting to know new people is before the service, and if you've got new people coming 5 minutes before the service, good luck. Because
yeah.
All you're going to get is
yeah.
Have a seat. You just can't get any meaningful reason why someone's there and gain any, and really, to try and like connect with them after
right.
is even very, very difficult.
Isn't it challenging?
Yeah, so if that's your only way, like the only way to get to know new people is if I go around, good luck.
Yeah.
5 minutes before is very stressful.
Yeah. Does anyone else find that challenge? A little bit, not so much.
Well, it used to be the pastor was circulating before the service.
Right.
Well, now you're just seeing the same people at the same time. You're not seeing new people because you got to get to your own seat, or
right.
you got to deal with something. So, like,
right.
I find roaming through the auditorium, you're just seeing the people that are going to be early.
That
in.
Come early anyway. Yeah. I know many churches will have sort of like a ministry host in the worship center. Who has that here? Anybody? Yeah. And how do you find that works?
I think we're a larger church region this year, but what I did back home was had section hosts, and I just had somebody at each, there's a larger auditorium,
yeah.
somebody at each section.
Right.
We know the majority of the people sit in the same seats, right?
Right.
So if
right.
that section host is there every week,
right.
they get to know the newcomers, and it gives them the time to visually say hi coming in, but then they can remember to actually talk with them as they're leaving. So if you have somebody over at the front of the area, it makes it more manageable and more doable.
And we've done similar things here as well. And I found a side benefit of that was they get to know the people that always sit there, right? So when they're not there and then they come back the next week, they're like, where were you? I missed you. And you hear, I had surgery or some other thing, right? That really turns into a care thing, right? So it was like a zone defense. Like we had zones, right? We sort of assigned people, and it was a lot of it just happened in the atrium, right? That's how things roll, right? But that was a helpful thing. We're not actually doing that now, but it's a good idea. Anything you would add to that?
Yeah. So we have a welcome. So we're in the construction right now, so we're kind of in a more contained space. So that does help.
Mm.
So people who are new, they're already going to get greeted at our doors, and then our kids ministry is right at our main door now too. So then if they have kids, boom, they're right there, get introduced to the kids section. Then they come upstairs, then they're going to see somebody at the welcome desk.
Yeah.
So at that point, hopefully they've at least corresponded with at least two people.
Amazing.
And
Yeah. They're so seen, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. You wanted to add to
One
that?
One of the things we do is our church is it's not a huge auditorium, like 350,
mm-hmm.
350, 400. So I try and make sure I'm not on the greeter team. I try and make sure that I go around and see where there are seats. So then I can come back and I can say, okay, people, that's where you can send them to sit. So
yep.
It's not awkward.
Not awkward and climbing over. Yeah, brilliant. Does anyone else have a similar sort of system with their ushers where they're keeping an eye on where the empty seats are? Yeah. It's an issue when your sanctuary gets tight, right? We're finding our 11 o'clock service here. Suddenly, I'm doing a ton of training with the ushers about what to do when every seat's full, or it feels like it when everyone's standing up. Then when they sit down, you can see better, right? What are we going to do about this? I'm getting asked this almost every Sunday right now. Big challenge. It's such a good challenge, right? But it's a big challenge. We want to be friendly, right? Absolutely. Anything anyone else would add to some of those ideas?
We always have somebody that lingers at, we call them hall monitors.
Yeah.
And also I've tried just to put myself in different places during the service in different weeks.
Yeah.
So sometimes I linger back just to catch those people who are just rushing in, having struggles with kids.
Yes.
Or maybe some people who are affected by the service and leave because they're emotional. Oh. Check on them to make sure that they're okay. And then I sit in that. Different places just because I want to get to know people. Because I find if I sit in the same place week after week, I don't really hear what's going on.
Ooh. So. I love all of that. That's such a beautiful heart. You can cry. You can send it to other people. What an other-centered, beautiful way. I wonder if I could train my welcome teams to think like that. Because they're already halfway there, right? Those people care about this already. I can make that part of our training next time. Okay, let's go a little bit quickly about through the rest of this here. The what happens after the service, after last Stronger Conference, I implemented this idea that had been percolating in my brain for a couple years, actually. And so the 20 minutes after the service is where the good stuff happens, is what that was our sort of our tagline with our teams, our welcome teams. That conversation that happens afterwards is what makes someone maybe take that next step. Ask that awkward question. Ask for prayer for something that touched them during the service. If it's their first time, they're wondering a lot of things, and those questions get answered in the 20 minutes after the service. So it was actually Vicky who gave me the idea. You were talking about how you physically moved your ushers to be facing a different direction because you wanted to focus on them not being clicky and being more friendly. And I thought, ding, I'm going to have my greeters go back out to the front door after the service and face the other way and be literally eyes out for all those new people that come out of the service. They might go get their kid, and then they're kind of wandering, just waiting to see if anyone will talk to them. And there's like this 5 minutes of opportunity that if someone who's gifted that way is on it, knows it's their job, knows what to do, we get it, right? And so we made it part of the job description. So, excuse me. That was one of the things I implemented to make the 20 minutes after the service more intentional, right? Tell me about what you guys do to make the 20 minutes after more intentional.
Cookies and coffee.
And cookies and it's a good coffee.
Yes.
I love it.
They stay. I mean, literally, yeah. The clock for keeping people out.
Yeah. You know, that's amazing.
They're all great in community right now. We're finding more and more.
Is anyone else finding that too? Like we're doing coffee and things differently after the service as well for this reason. Do you find people are more willing to engage and more wanting? Okay, raise your hands if that's the case. Look around. Friends, we are in a beautiful place in our culture right now. What an opportunity to love people well. This is so good, Candy.
Part of that for me is that mind shift of like, I've had a full Sunday. I'm tired. And so, like, that is one thing that I pray about on and need to pray more about on Sundays is that is also my sacrifice of praise and my gift offering is that I choose to set aside my need to be like, I'm done. I'm emotionally, physically, and spiritually need to go home and have a grilled cheese sandwich and a bowl of tea soup. And give that time over and be like, this is still ministry. Rather than just saying to someone, if you're the last one out, you lock up. And then all the ministry staff scoots. It is such a hardship. I battle flesh in that. To be like, I just want to go, but you're not ready to go because they're paying me.
I get it. I'm with you there. I go into DEFCON 5 at about 2 o'clock. I'm napping by then. But I want that 20 minutes to be intentional.
Yeah, I was going to say, like at Calvary, we have two services. One ends with one's 9 to 10, 10 to 15.
Yeah.
The other one starts at 11. We have a major problem with people hanging around wanting to stick around, and then there's no room for the newcomers to come.
Oh, parking lot, yep.
Yeah, it's great to have the people wanting to stick around, but yeah, it's so
even like noise transfer is a challenge, right? Like if people are being loud in our atrium, you can hear it.
Well, yes,
in the worship center.
Yeah, we don't even have our church was not designed for doing things after the service. It's just got a little entryway and then steps up, and then so it's not a good design. But anyway, but I do like the idea of being the intentionality after the service. Actually, we have the elders are up at the front, you know, for people to pray with. I've been noticing recently, and it's just great. We have little groups of people praying with each other,
talking
to each other, and it's totally happened. Mm-hmm. You know, hasn't been planned that way. It's just happening. I just love looking around and seeing the, you know, newcomers talking to each other, and it's just God's working.
One of the things my daughter Julia said when she chose the church she's attending, and so fun. Remember you talked about how all the kids were running around the tree outside and the parents were just standing around talking?
Yeah, there's a tree outside my church, and all the kids congregate and meet there, and then they all climb the tree, and the parents all sit around, and the kids like show off their little tricks. It's so cute.
Yeah, it's a sign that it's safe to stay here and get to know people, right? I love that, for sure. Good. Well, let's talk about how to make those things happen. And sometimes it's about multiplying yourself. You're here because you have a heart for this. Already, I have learned I can't be the only one with the heart for this, right? Because then I'm every newcomer's best friend, right? That's fun for me, but if we talk about that Lego brick idea where you can only have so many connections, like my Lego brick is one of those big mats for sure, but it gets full, right? And I want to help people meet other people who are going to meet those needs, absolutely. So, building a good welcome team with people with a heart for this is a big part of what you can do to multiply this heart. Really, it's about discipleship and the gospel. This is giving people an opportunity to serve, right? So, don't hog it all to yourself. Definitely build and balance a healthy welcome team. And the ways, some things I've learned about doing that over time, and this is true whether you're a team of three, or you're a team of 119 like I am right now, it should reflect your community as best you can. Age, experience in the church, right? Diversity, absolutely. Build and balance your team. Having a clear job description makes a huge difference if you're welcoming new people. Nobody who has gone to your church for 20 years needs to know what the greeter job is, right? They already know, right? But new people, having new people join your team, they're going to want to know, what's the commitment? What are your expectations? What does this mean? And having those in a tangible place where they can find them is really important. So we've built, just since the last Stronger Conference, we put them all on the website. We put all of our volunteer job descriptions on our website. And I have found that I'm getting more new people saying yes because they know what they're saying yes to. It's not this intangible mystery, right? Job descriptions. If you would like, I will send you what I use for our job descriptions. I'm happy to do that. They're a little more extensive than what I use on the website, but what I actually give to people. So if you want them, you can just email me, respond after, and I'll definitely do that. I want my team to be balanced. This is a goal. It's not something I've accomplished, certainly. But I'm doing that by doing intentional recruiting, for sure. I'm very intentionally finding the new people, the friendly people, the people who will balance my team age-wise, ethnicity-wise, experience and church-wise. I want it to be a lot of new people, new Christians as well, right? So balancing that team has really helped us to be healthier, for sure. Mission drift is real. We're passionate about this stuff, and we can talk about this stuff forever. Don't worry, I'm going to get you out of here on time. I know you want to get to Chick-fil-A before the other workshops. So don't worry, we're going to get out of here by 5. But mission drift is real even when you're passionate about this stuff. And so one of the ways I'm addressing that, and I want you to be thinking about ways you address this in your teams, is now we do a team huddle every Sunday before we go off and do our stuff. We very quickly, I tap on VIP, vision, information, prayer. And I try to do it in less than 7 minutes. I've even made it so it doesn't have to be me at all of those meetings. I've trained team leaders, replicated myself, so that I don't have to be at all those meetings. We tap on one vision and mission type of thing, like the 20 minutes after the service is really important, right? Be thinking about that. Information, oh, we're having communion today. Here's what you need to know. And then prayer. We pray for something happening that day or something amongst our team. So we're addressing mission drift by having a team huddle right before the meeting. Now, how are some of you doing that? How do you train your teams? How do you keep them from drifting on mission?
Send them articles like that and try and engage people in that. I do that quite a bit, particularly around strategic times like, you know, high holidays or significant things in the church. Just making some comment about how it's applicable to this context.
Yeah.
And people actually really like that stuff. Or some videos, even funny videos.
Yeah, with your like reminder email that goes like, you're on this week, send a funny little video or something like that.
Well, even like Chick-fil-A, speaking of, they have their training videos. You can Google those.
Oh, yeah.
They are dynamite for integration. Like, I use it whenever I run a training session, I use the Chick-fil-A training videos. And my favorite one is, they run one that's called Every Life Tells a Story. And it's about how, just because they're ordering chicken from you, it could be their first visit or their 100th visit, but you don't know what's going on in their mind, and so you need to see each person as a person, not as a consumer. And every single time it hits.
Wow.
It's so good.
That's great.
Yeah.
Ooh, good idea. Worth coming to the workshop just for that.
Yeah,
that's great.
Just look them up on YouTube. Yeah, fantastic.
Amazing. Anyone else have something to add to that that kind of concept, mission drift?
I don't have anything to add. I just have a question
for
you. You said you do a huddle with like your welcome team.
Yeah.
When do you do that? Like,
we do it.
Our welcome team needs to be there like, for everybody else.
I know. Yeah. We do it. So our service starts at 9. I tell them we meet in the gym at 8:29. Mm-hmm. So I say it's a half an hour before.
Okay.
And they roll arrive at me and they come in 10 minutes later. But I try. Like, I really do try.
How do you do it between services?
Right, we meet in the same place because it's not in use, and we just try. We just do our best. That never would have happened in 97-year-old Emmanuel pre-COVID. There was no way I could have made those changes, but COVID just like mixed up everything, and I blew the whole thing up and restarted from scratch. And it's hard to change, especially in a large church, right? So I want to be sensitive to those things, but also, having that mission drift, people on, that helped a lot. So if you need to take that and do it.
You said like COVID kind of blew up your mission drift start. Were there keys to success in that rebuild? Because, you know, I'm both incredibly encouraged by being in this room and hearing the heart, but also incredibly discouraged because my own ministry lives exclusively in drift. There's no mission. We have only drifted. So I'm discouraged to realize how bad things really are.
Yeah.
What were the keys to success in your rebuild that drove you to where you're at?
Brother, I feel that. Does anybody else, can anybody else relate where it just felt like everything we were doing was kind of clicky and not on mission?
Yeah.
I hear you, right? Find the people, find your people in your church, and start with them. That's what COVID allowed me to do. And I gradually built it out from there, right? And there were lots of people that were on mission, so I was blessed that way. And I got them to be on a new schedule with a new team leader and a new job description, and I forced them to come to a prayer meeting every single time they serve. It, like, those things helped. But finding the people that really care, right? One of the questions I have, if we had time, which we probably won't, is how do you address a hard-hearted, like missionally hard-hearted church? And One of the things I want to say, let me just look for my notes about that one sec. And I'm sure many of you could add to this as well here. It's about the gospel. It's only about the gospel. If God is bringing people to the church, it's because they're seeking Jesus. And if that doesn't make our hearts race, right, then that's what we have to address first.
I'm so with you.
Yeah.
I made that call right after COVID. I had some limited success, but I just fell in the same drift.
Yeah. Anyone else got a word of encouragement for our brother here?
One is make sure you're telling them your why. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because when people actually understand the why, it's easier to get on board or get off. And sometimes you want them off, unfortunately.
Yep.
There's some you need off. The other thing that I would suggest is if you have a dear friend outside of your church, that you can have be a secret shopper and give your report back. So it's not just you saying it.
Yeah.
There's actual tangible evidence there saying, this is where we missed the boat, and how are we going to get back?
Yes.
Everybody needs a secret shopper.
Who else has done that? Yep. Us too. We did it. It was hard, but helpful. Really helpful. Absolutely. Yep. Oh, you guys, there's so much to talk about. Okay, let me click through. Okay. This is the slide I used at our training when I do parking greeters, welcome desk, ushers, coffee and tea people. So that's sort of who my welcome teams are. This was a slide I did at that training after last Stronger conference. And so you'll see on here, these are the things we always hammer on each time. Take, don't point. Like, physically take the person there. Don't say, that's where the washroom is. Right? 5:15, if someone is within 5 feet of you, you verbally greet them, you try to remember their name. If they're within 15 feet, you absolutely acknowledge absolutely everybody. That is your job. Right? And then the 20 after is where the good stuff happens. So I just wanted to show you an example of how I've been trying to do some training. And I tap on those things in those huddle before. Telling good stories has been a game changer too, and sometimes I really had to dig deep. Actually, sometimes I still do, right? Because I don't always get to hear the good stories of great things happening. Sometimes we had a pastor here who set the tone of where he was headed. And that got us there, right? And that was something that I found encouraging too. Dig deep, tell the good stories, celebrate the wins, and it will get those, the like-minded people will bubble to the surface more and more, for sure. All right. In the last 10 minutes, we're going to talk a little bit about integration as well, okay? What do you mean by integration? Well, what does it mean in your church? Okay? Asking yourself this and really being intentional about what your goals are for integration is really important. Now, I know some of you are a million times there already. Let me tell you a story that illustrated a bit of a light bulb moment for me. This was several years ago. I had a lady come to the welcome desk and she filled out a card there and was chatting with someone. Checked off a bunch of things on our welcome card. I want more information, so I called her that next week. It was great. I learned when I called her that she'd been attending probably 5 or 6 weeks already before she filled out the card. That is almost exclusively what happens. Unless they're Christians from another church who just want the free mug, they wait until they've been at the church for several weeks before they fill it out. Anyone else? Am I alone in this? Yeah. Okay. I figured. I followed up with a phone call. And in that phone call, I was very intentional about tapping the idea that she might have spiritual questions. Now, she was like an older lady than me, very put together, totally presented like a churchgoer. Like just someone who seemed to have, you know, you can kind of get a feel like, it'd be like you guys coming to the church. I assume you're Christians and you like know what to think about church and what to ask. She totally had that way about her. But I said, well, but if you have spiritual questions, this is a safe place to ask them. I was tapping on integration very intentionally in that moment, right? A few weeks later, I was reaching out about another thing, following up about something, and she took a moment to ask some really important spiritual questions of me, And I realized that she had been attending a cult. That was her whole Christian experience was in a cult. And she, in attending the church, was realizing, wait a second, things are different here. She was excited about what she was seeing, but it was also terrifying to her. She's like, wait, whoa, light bulbs are starting to go on for her. Me tapping on that as part of my welcome and integration process really helped her take those next steps in growing. So that had to be really intentional. I had to take the initiative to open up that space for conversation. And you can do that in so many different ways, and I know lots of you are. I connected her with a pastor. I had a wonderful time getting to know her myself as well. She got into a life group that really ministered to her and helped her heal and understand the gospel. About a year later, I got an email from her thanking me for helping her find a church community and a safe place to grow. And it was when I got that email, I realized that in my role, I really didn't have clear goals for integration. I was like, this is what I'm aiming for. This moment is what I've been aiming for all this time. I should really make this intentional as part of my, what we do here. Okay? So, I hope that's helpful for you. I love getting those emails. They're rare. But if you're asking yourself, when is someone integrated? When has that goal been met? And it'll be different for every church, right? But if you know that answer, it'll help you narrow your job a bit so it doesn't feel so overwhelming, right? And that's good. And you can recruit people for the other pieces of it that you don't want to do or can't do or can't do alone. I'm going to skip the next one because we seriously talk about this all the time with the integration crowd, and we only have 5 minutes left. Yeah, you can figure out about gathering info. Lots of you are all over that stuff. What I will say about gathering info is your goals show. If you have a goal for what you're doing in gathering that information, it's pretty obvious. If all you're doing is saying, we want you to come back again, that will feel like that, right? Maybe that is what you want. Maybe you want a warm welcome. Maybe you want to learn about the person so you can get to know them and help meet their needs better. If you're asking like their marital status and their social insurance number and all these other things, you're thinking, oh dear, the database nerd made the welcome card, right? Is that really necessary to ask all of that information? What were my goals in asking for that information? Okay, so be careful. Your goals show. Having accurate follow-up info is a really big deal, and we all want to do that well. Because we want to have a clear next step. I'm almost done, friends. A clear next step is where someone knows that they can ask questions, they can join in community, and they know where to go for that. So having a clear next step, it all depends on what your church culture is like and what programming you have. When we didn't have something like Christianity Explored or Alpha, I was so frustrated that I didn't have someone who says, I have questions about spiritual things, and I didn't have something for them to go to right away, right? It really helps now that I have that again, right? So that's just an example of some of those, like, someone walks in and says, I've never been to church before. What is this about? I have an incubator for them. Clear next step. I have up here a couple of things that we do here. But if you're really interested, you can just come and help yourself afterwards, because it's almost 5 o'clock. Quickly, some things I've learned not to do. Ask, how long have you been coming to Emmanuel? Mm-hmm. Not helpful. I've learned to not assume someone's a believer when I reach out for follow-up, like the story I told you. Mm-hmm. I've learned to not assume that someone isn't a believer. Mm-hmm. I've just learned to help people take the next step wherever they're coming from. I've learned to not put anyone with a pulse on the schedule. Not everyone is called to welcome an integration, right? Another thing I've learned not to do is especially this comes out at our Emmanuel 101 get-together. We do it about every 2 months. The goal is for them to get to know the church and to get to know each other. So new people meet each other at our Emmanuel 101. I've learned when someone is telling me about the deep wounding or hurt they have in their former church experience, to not ignore that, not minimize it, and to give them a next step with that as well. And to maybe not right then, but quickly address and talk to them about it. It helps them be healthy, part of the church family, and it keeps the wolves out of the sheep, and it keeps keeps us on our toes in a healthy way, which is really, really good. I've also learned to not rely on announcements or the website to do my recruiting for me. Right? Nope. Not going to help. Instead, I've discovered fish need different kinds of bait, and people will snap at what is for them. Mission, need, can't only be the need, because the need gets met and then you leave, but a whole bunch of different kinds of bait works for different kinds of people, and that's been how recruiting happens better in my little world. All right, friends, it's 5 o'clock, so I don't want to keep going, but I also, if you have more things you want to say, send them to me, and I'll send them out to everyone else who left their email on the table at the back, okay? It's been great getting to know you. I'll see you around at the conference. Come and we'll talk about all the stuff we didn't get to talk about today.